Hello and welcome to Breadcrumbs. This is your host, Ashley, aka Ash Kitten, and let's get started. So, so much has happened, you guys. I can't even, okay? I'm gonna tell you that I know now that it is my purpose to help people, men and women, but mostly women, it seems, get out of toxic, narcissistic, abusive relationships. I think it's chased me down. Not only in my own life, I was married to a narcissistic person, a sociopath, psychopath for 15 years and dealt with the pain of that. And then the aftermath, of course, and you guys have been with me on my journey. And, I also brought some other people that reached out to me that saw my struggle out of it. But then it came to hit me in my personal life because two of my childhood best friends, okay, one in Arizona because I was a freshman in high school in Arizona. And when I was in Arizona, I had a best friend named Sam and she was the carbon copy of me, or we were the carbon copy of each other because we weren't copies. We were just soul twins. I don't even know how to explain it. I still think it to this day, how much we have in common is just freaking insane. But she ended up marrying someone for 16 years. Also abusive, toxic, narcissist. What the hell? And for the same reasons, she didn't share who she was with and expose him to the world because she thought it was going to change. And she is an empath. And she's the sweetest, most wonderful, sweetest, kindest, amazingest person I know. Amazingest isn't a word, but I just created it. Literally just a breath of fresh air to be around. She loves the ocean just like me. And she was taken away from it to Canada for so long that it it just drained her. But not just because being away from friends and family and the ocean, but also being abused. She was being emotionally abused, cheated on, which is sexual abuse because you don't know what you're gonna get. You don't know what kind of diseases you could possibly get. She was being berated and just treated like garbage and basically the same things that I went through. And I'm also gonna state a little disclaimer. I think the people with no boundaries, narcissists that abuse and go to the length that her ex has gone and my ex has gone to, also have a problem with predatory behaviors. We're just going to stop there because I'm not going to go into extreme detail. Mine is in prison for it, but hers was showing signs of it and just really strange how they all kind of line up in that way. Anyway, so that being said, then I have another friend from high school. When I moved back to Florida, my senior year of high school, have been friends ever since and are still close, but found out she married someone. Now, she wasn't in the relationship for 16 years, just a couple years, but she married someone that was toxic and abusive and a narcissist and trying to get out. And even though it was a short time, the amount of heartbreak that she's going through trying to get out of it is equivalent to what it was for me. After 15 years, because I want to say the thing, the only difference is after 15 years for me, I didn't love him anymore. There was so much that I was just I was scared of him. There was a lot more fear in leaving than I can't leave because I love him. But I still had this protective spirit, this protective nature to not even talk about him. I look back on my leaving video, because I posted it on YouTube, but then I made it private. I watched it for the first time in 6 years, because I left 6 years ago, and I watched it, and I was amazed. I was freaking floored at how much I protected him. I was like, this isn't about him. I'm not going to trash talk him. This is about me finding the strength inside and leaving. And I can't believe it. But like, I didn't want to be that girl that was just like, oh, my ex is a piece of garbage. But he is. He clearly is. And the things that he did to put him in prison, you guys know, he is. He's garbage. And we kind of have to like understand that that protectiveness needs to go away. When you're dealing with a monster, when you're dealing with someone that has no care for anyone but themselves, you can't protect them. You gotta say it how it is. Because that video should have gone more along the lines of, oh my God, I escaped a freaking monster. Instead of like, we're growing apart and he's just not growing with me. And no, I listened to the video and I was sick to my stomach of myself. But that girl, you know what? That girl left. She did it. She did find the strength inside of her. But she also had to die. Because that is not me anymore. That is not who I am. That is not what I represent. I tell it like it is. I do not protect people who do not deserve to be protected. But I will protect the people who do deserve to be protected. And right now, that's the people who are going through it. I cannot tell you how great it feels to be free of it. Yes, my life took a turn. Like, there was so much going on. I was going to be homeless. Like, life just stopped for me, or the bottom dropped out, but I still kept going. I got diagnosed, all the things that I was going through. I mean, I still have diagnoses that I still need to get because I believe that I have POTS, which, the symptoms are feeling like you're going to pass out when you stand, you know, longer than a certain period of time. Your heart rate accelerating when you're standing up, not just like once, but like every time. And then also, CFS, which, I was, told by a doctor that I have it, but, then with the narcolepsy diagnosis, like that took precedent and that was like, okay, that's the reason you're sleeping. Then what about the CFS? We need to get like a clear indication of like what's causing what symptoms. Also, I think that I have fibromyalgia because of the pain in my body all the time. I still work full time. I still am a mom. I still maintain the things that I need to maintain. I push through. My youngest daughter is going through some of the symptoms, so I'm getting her diagnosed. She actually did a sleep study. She doesn't have narcolepsy, luckily, but she does have restless leg syndrome and idiopathic hypersomnia, which has the same symptoms as narcolepsy. She's still sleeping as much as I was and she's having the same symptoms. So getting that treated is imperative in her growth and, you know, getting her into a healthy space for education and stuff like that. As you can tell, I'm talking a lot faster and a lot more upbeat and a little bit more energy because I have been treated for the narcolepsy. So it is a whole different side of me. I am not like sluggish and like falling apart like I am in most of my episodes, you guys. Some people were telling me that they were listening to my episodes to fall asleep because I had that like fall asleep sound because I was just like lulling everyone to sleep with my voice. Sorry about that. But it's a little different now. And there are times when I do get a little tired and little sleep attacks here and there, but it's a whole different ball game now. I do believe that I have ADHD or ADD because my mind is all over the place and sometimes I just talk 90 to nothing and I'm like, whoa. And this isn't because of, like, I'm not in any stimulants because of the narcolepsy. I actually take a medication that puts me to a deep sleep and then I'm able to get the restful sleep that I need that I've never gotten in my entire life and now I get, and it's so exciting. Like, I just want to tell you, the difference is paramount. So I decided, I went off on a tangent, I'm sorry. I decided that I am going to create a podcast with one of my friends who, let me tell you her story, because it's the one that was in Canada. She got like taken away from her home in you know, she wasn't near the ocean in Arizona either, but she visited the ocean a lot in California, and she had friends and family in Florida, and she was able to visit them a lot more due to just being in the United States and not being with a narcissist. And she went to Canada, and he kept her there, and he isolated her from friends and family, and she was only able to visit once in a blue moon, and never me, because it never worked out. I believe that's on him, because I really tried to make plans, and she was, like, trying to, and then it just never worked out because of him. But also because, weirdly, also because some of the plans fell through because my ex at the time was being very controlling and didn't want me to meet up with my high school friend, which is weird because he said that he thought that there was, like, something going on between us. And I'm like, are you serious? But, yeah, that paranoia and that accusatory, you know, possessiveness and all that, we both had to deal with. But just, like, wowed me that she reached out. Well, how I found out was she left and went to Mexico. She put as many miles between them as she possibly could, and I don't blame her. She went to Mexico, and she didn't even, like, tell anyone she was leaving an abusive relationship. She just was like, my journey is taking me to Mexico. I'm gonna, you know, be there for 6 months. This is what I need to do. And everyone was like supportive of her, but nobody knew really what was going on inside. And I had a hunch, right? I felt like something is, like, aching at me to ask her, like, what's going on. But I didn't, because her privacy, you know, and I just didn't want to, you know, she wanted to tell me that I knew she was going to. But then she posted something online, and it was along the lines of his post to her, and it was just an entire, like, a bunch of messages in a row that were just berating her physically, mentally, like, fat shaming her, like, and she's not fat by any means, like, PHAT maybe, but not fat, and it wouldn't even matter if she was overweight. That is just something you don't do to a human being. I mean, he was calling her the worst names in the book, saying things you just don't say to a human being. And all because she left. And he lost the control that he had with her living there. And I found out that she was sleeping 16 to 18 hours a day when she was living there. And I was like, oh my God. That is what was happening to me. This parallel that we have in our lives is just insane. Like, I can't even tell you. I don't know if she has narcolepsy or not. I don't know if it was just the trauma that was causing it. I will tell you that my narcolepsy wasn't even as bad as it ever was when I was with him. I was sleeping 16, 18 hours a day, nonstop, because of the trauma and the fatigue of dealing with being in survivor mode 24/7. Like, I was constantly feeling like I had to be in survivor mode, and that is so exhausting on your mentality and your emotional well-being. Like, it just made me so drained. And then come to find out I have narcolepsy on top of that. Like, what? But after I left, I found myself not sleeping quite as much as when I did when I was with him. So some of it was related to the abuse. Then I found out that he was abusing her the same way that my ex was abusing me for 16 years. Mine was for 15, hers was for 16. And she maintained this positive, like, uplifting, she still, like, protects him in that manner of, like, it's not his fault, his childhood, blah blah blah. But I was there, I did that, I watched my leaving video, and I realized that, like, she's just 6 years behind me, is all, that's all it is. So we're, like, the same age, but she's, like, 6 years behind me on the journey, right? She is a humanitarian. She wants to help people. That's what she is doing in Mexico. She went to Mexico to teach children in Mexico English, to teach Spanish children English. Like, how amazing is she, right? I just love her. Like, her soul, her spirit, everything about her. She's always inspired me every time I've ever had any interactions with her. I'm just inspired by this human being. And she says that I inspire her, but like, it's just, I don't know. It's just this really bright, like when you meet someone that is as bright as the sun, you can't help but still feel their warmth miles and miles and miles away. You know, like I was in Florida and she was in Canada, and still, like when we talked, it was like I felt her warmth, but I felt her spark draining, and I didn't know quite what was causing it. I saw little things here and there where I'm like, you know, oh no, is she getting worn out? Like, what's happening? You know, and she was getting worn from the relationship she was in, and I know that she loves being a mother, and she had to leave that behind just like I did. And I am so angry at people who think that when a mom leaves with her children there, that she's leaving her children. Because I left knowing I couldn't take my kids with me because the amount of control that my ex had and the amount of uproar it would cause if I took my kids with me. So I had to get better emotionally. I literally, like, I was sleeping 18 hours a day. I wasn't a mom. I wasn't the mom that I wanted to be living with him. So I had to get out. And I know that that's what she is facing, you know, like what she is dealing with now. She had to leave, but the only option of leaving was without her kids. He wouldn't let them go with her. They're planted in there with everything that they know, and their school, their friends. And taking him away from all that, he would exploit that and be like, you're a horrible person for doing this, for taking my children from me, for ripping them from everything they know. So she left so she could have a small amount of time where she could get her mental health together. And he is exploiting that, like, mental health stuff. He's like, oh, you want me to expose you and your mental health issues? It's caused by the abuse. Like, she didn't have mental health issues in childhood. Like, in teenagehood, we were very close friends, and she's never been a bad person. She's always been a good person. I will tell you, we got into, her and I don't know if I've even shared this on here before. I think I have, actually. But we got into a fight, like a literal fight, because a girl at school was telling her that I was talking crap about her, and I wasn't. I would never have, because, like, she just was, honestly, I don't even know, this soul connection, sister soul connection that I had with her, I've never had with anyone else. And that sounds like crazy, I don't know, but it's just, we had so much in common. But then on top of that, like, our hearts, we felt the same way about things. Like, we wanted to help people, we loved people, we didn't want to hurt people, and we just had very similar ideals and values. And so this girl was like, oh yeah, she's talking crap. So she approached me and was like, oh, you're talking crap? Like, what? I thought we were friends. And then I'm like, I would never talk crap about you. But I was, like, so intimidated by the fact that she was approaching me that I, like, was like, what? And so she, like, pushed me, and then I pushed her back. But that's it. Like, we ended up, like pushing each other, I guess, onto the ground, and then, like, looking at each other and like, I'm not gonna hit you. And she's like, I'm not gonna hit you. And then we're like laughing because we're like, well, what is this? So we ended up like getting put into the principal's office, papers from our backpack just like everywhere. Like, I guess my backpack opened up and like paper just went everywhere. So it was all over the courtyard, just like tons of loose leaf paper like flurrying around us. And it was like something from a movie. And then we got pulled into the principal's office because we made such a ruckus. But, like, really, the deal was that everybody made it look like it was a really horrible fight before the teachers got there, because people were, like, screaming, fight, 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 fight. So, like, when the teachers got there, they didn't know what transpired. They didn't know who hit who or what happened. So they pulled us apart thinking that they were, like, stopping this horrible fight and, like, brawl. And then we got in the principal's office and like we're looking at each other and we just start laughing. We're like, why? Why are we even here? I would never hit you. And she's like, I would never hit you either. And we just like, we got suspended for 10 days for fighting. And really, we didn't even fight. Like, it was, we pushed each other. But like, you know, how people make it out to be more than it was, the school, the kids in the playground or whatever. Like, it wasn't even a playground, it was a courtyard. But the kids were like, you know, screaming, fight, fight, fight. So they felt like they had to do something about it. But whatever. She's just always been such a positive memory in my life. And a positive person. And anytime I ever speak to her, it's just always positive. So to find out that she went through the same exact crap as me is just like, and she's so positive about it still. Like, oh my God, she's in Mexico, right? With almost nothing, he took control of their bank account and everything that they own. He owns like a house and a villa. They own it together because they're married, right? And she took care of the kids, and she did work at times occasionally when she was able to, just like me when I was able to. And she just like went through so much, and now she's in a place where like she feels a little free because she's not with him, but she still feels like he's bombarding her with these messages and making everyone think that she's a horrible person. Full disclosure, she found a person after she left her husband that is kind to her, and I think that is like something that sometimes people do because they don't feel like they can do it by themselves, you know. But she already left him. Like, she wanted to leave the abuse and she wanted to completely get out of it, and her husband was like cheating on her left and right. So like, she does feel bad that she found someone else. And then it got spun to look like, you know, this person's been there the whole time and that's why she left, and that's not the case. But I don't think anyone should judge her because of that. Because, like, when you're in a place of, like, what do I do? How do I do this? And someone comes along and says, don't worry, like, I'll help you. You gravitate to that. And I'm not saying that that's going to be, like, a forever person for her. I hope, like, that she can differentiate, like, who in her life is going to be steady and who's not. But at that time, that's what she needed in order to feel safe. And she's happy, except for the fact that she doesn't have her kids. And she needs, like, financial help, like she does, like I did. But I was able to do it, thank God, without having to spend a fortune on lawyers and stuff. I actually recently had to, I'm going to go on off on another tangent, but a woman tried to steal my son. And I had to get a lawyer in order to get him back. And that happened recently. I'll go into a whole thing on that later. But this is about my friend and like narcissists and toxic abuse. And by the way, this other girl was a narcissist. But we're not going to talk about all that right now. So if you want to know about that, I will definitely talk about it in a future episode. It's crazy. It's something out of a movie. My whole life I feel like is. And this makes me feel like, man, am I like a main character and everybody else is NPCs? And like, cause like, what the crap, like all the stuff that happens to me feels like it's from a movie, the stuff that happens around me, you know. But I do feel like it's my purpose to help people in abusive, toxic, narcissistic, abusive relationships, because it's just chasing me down. Like, it has chased me down, and I have the tools and the words and the resources to help people. I've helped 16 people get out, and that, like, I'm not putting any, like, glory on myself. But if I have the tools and I know how to do it, I should be doing it. Like, that's my purpose. I really feel like it. One of my other friends, who also from high school, the other one I was telling you about, she left her relationship, and it took a lot of like pouring into her the knowledge that I have about narcissists, because she knew something was wrong, but she didn't know she was with a narcissist. She kept thinking he was gonna change. And I kept pointing out to her like all the signs of narcissism, and without that education, I think that she would still be caught up in it. There was just so much that transpired, and she just kept going back, and I was like, listen, I'm here. If you go back, I'm still here. If you leave, I'm here. If you go back again, I'm here. Like, you will never lose me as a friend. Other people will be like, well, you had your chance. You won't leave. That's on you. I'm done. And I get that, because it's hard watching your friend go through it, but I went through it. So because of that, I have that resilience where I know that eventually that person will finally see their strength and get out of it. So I know that other people see it as hopeless and like, well, I tried, like I gave her money, I gave her a place to live and she went back. Like, that feels like betrayal, but I promise you it's not. Like, they're not intending to betray you if you help them. It's not something intentional. This person has mind control over them, okay? Mind control, literal mind control. I will tell you, it starts at the very beginning. At the very, very beginning, they start with the whole, like, when they meet you, they say things like, everyone else in my life has hurt me so bad. And that's why I'm closed off. And that's why I have these anger issues. And that's why I have these problems. But you have been there for me. And thank you so much for that. But then they go on to say, I'm glad that you will never leave me. I'm glad that no matter what I do, you will never leave me. And that leaves a responsibility on the person that they are talking to, especially if they're an empath, to think that they are responsible for this person's change, and this they're responsible for staying with this person no matter how rough it gets, no matter how bad it gets. They set you up for that from the get-go, and they're like, I'm so glad you'll never hurt me. Like, everyone else in my life has hurt me. I don't know what I would do if you hurt me. I don't know what I would do if you left me. So they equate leaving and hurt at the same time. And leaving, you leave because of the abuse, you leave because it's better for you, but they make it sound like if you leave them, you are hurting them so devastatingly that you will rip them apart, and you're the reason for the future of their pain and their suffering, and for other people who are going to suffer from their wrath of destruction because they are hurt by you. And like, that is so hard to come to terms with as an empath. When this person slams you with this responsibility of, you will be the reason that I will like destroy the world if you leave me. That is what they put into you. So you have become this savior, and you have to fulfill their needs, and you have to, it also is a high a little bit. Like, there's this like, oh my God, you chose me to be the one that will help you. And what you see the greatness in them, and you tell them that. You say, I know that you're going to be great. I know that you're going to be something special. And you just fill them with all of this stuff. And what you're doing is you're filling their ego. You don't realize it. You're thinking that you're building them up from nothing, but you're filling their ego. And that is something that you can never fill enough. You never give them enough love, because they're vampires and they just take and take and take and take, and they're a black hole. They take and take and take and take. And so when people say, why don't you just leave? It's not that simple. It's not that easy. You feel a pull to go back. And they also, with the love bombing, they trick you with the love bombing, because they do some things that are so incredibly wonderful for you and so incredibly like loving, and gestures of just like grandeur of kindness, that you're like, well, they have to love me because they did this thing. If they were a hateful person, they would never did this thing. And that's why they did this thing. That is purely why they did this thing. And that's why they purely why they do this thing every so often, to keep you strong on, because they're like, obviously if they showed themselves as being a total jerk 24/7 without any reprieve, then it would be easy to leave. So even people are like, I don't understand, why don't you leave? And you're like, because I love him. There's more to it than that. And so when someone decides to leave, and maybe not the last time they leave, be there for them. Tell them, I will not give up on you. Because the one day that everything breaks, when they break and they're like, it took literally my aha moment was wanting to rather, I'd rather be homeless. I would rather have nothing and be homeless and die out in the streets than be in the abuse that I was in. And that was my moment. I've told the exact aha moment and what caused it. I'll say it again. Basically, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. I was in my room because I was just tired of like dealing with things. And so I just hid in my room and played on my phone. That's really it. I like stayed in my room and then went to work and then came home and went to my room. I pretty much ate out at my work. Like I didn't do anything outside my room. And I just secluded myself to there and I would sleep most of the time. But I came out of my room one day and I chose to be in my room. Like I did, to avoid confrontation and arguments and stuff. But when I came out of my room that day, he said, "What are you doing out of your room?" And I was like, in my head, I was like, "What? Like, you're not keeping me there. Like, I'm not a prisoner." But I swallowed my, you know, comments that I was going to make. I'm like, what the fuck? But instead, I just was like, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And I said, I'm coming out because I'm hungry. I'm going to get something to eat. And he said, well, there's some dog food over there in the corner. And I was like, what? How dare you talk to me like this? Like, I'm in my head. I'm just like, why? What? I didn't even do anything. And this was regularly the abuse. But then my oldest daughter said, yeah, Mom, there's some dog biscuits in the pantry too. And she thought it was funny because she thought he was making a joke. And that is where I realized that when my own child thought that that was a joke and thought that was funny and thought abuse was okay, I had to leave. And that was my aha moment. So I chose to leave. I said I was leaving and packing my stuff. While I was packing my stuff, he picked me up and shoved me out the door. And in shoving me out the door, I had no shoes on. I had nothing packed. So I begged to come back in naturally because I had nothing. I didn't want to stay. I just wanted to get my stuff. But he was like telling me that he's done with me. So it was weird. It was like this mind screw, if you will, of like, I chose to leave, but you're acting like you're kicking me out. I don't understand. So anyway, that happened. And I left and went to my sister's and she helped me. And within 3 months, I was able to get a promotion. I was able to get a car and a new roommate to live with because my sister couldn't have me on her couch forever, you know. And then I started to find my independence and move on. And it took a long time. That wasn't final straw of everything because I still had moments of pull that I wanted to go back, but I didn't go back emotionally. I never went back after that. And I'm so proud of myself for that. Anyway, so my friend is in Mexico teaching English to children and I set up a GoFundMe for her. And I'm starting a podcast. This is what I came here to say because I have to get ready for work. I came here to say I'm starting a podcast and it is going to be me and her. And we are going to illuminate and shed light on narcissistic abuse. And not everyone understands how deep it goes, how deep the rabbit hole goes. But we're going to shed light on it. We're also going to have guest people on there, guests that have gone through it and that can share their experiences. My hope is that we're going to find more people that we can help and then eventually create like a foundation that we can use to help people in this situation of leaving, because leaving is the hardest part. And I understand that some of that money is going to be like not squandered, but like some people are going to leave and then go back. And that's fine because leaving also helps. Like when you leave and you're able to figure out that you can do it and you're okay doing it, it helps leaving the final time a lot easier because it's like baby steps. You can't just leave and think it's going to be okay. And some people have, and that's amazing for them. I left 300 times. Like, not gonna lie, I left like 300 times. And I feel bad for all the friends who have helped me and who are like, I'm going to help you and I'm going to give you a place to stay. And then I'd go back. But thank you, because it was paramount in me finally leaving. It was baby steps to realizing my independence and baby steps to realizing that I could get there. And then finally, when I was like at the straw that broke the camel's back, I knew that I could do it. I knew that no matter what, even if I ended up homeless, that I could actually step out and do it because of all the times that I tested it, you know? And it wasn't like I knew that I was testing it when I was doing it either. Like, when I was leaving all the other times, I really thought I was done. I was gung-ho. Like, I was like, I can't do this anymore. You're in that moment of like, I am so hurt. You get cheated on. You get abused. Every single time you leave, it's because of a significant event that makes you leave. But the love bombing is what pulls you back, and all the mind control tricks. And it is mind control. I had to break free of the programming. And if no one understands that, you are so vulnerable in those situations, because it's your program from childhood. I grew up with narcissist abuse. I had other people in my life, also my babysitter, abuse me. So you grow up with this vulnerable mentality, and these people, these predators, see it and they know what to look for. I will go over that in another episode of like how to combat that. But I really just want to highlight the fact that I'm creating a podcast with my friend. It's going to be called The Lighthouse. So look out for it. I will be giving more information later. I found out that Spotify is no longer going to support mobile like podcasting, because I do it mobily and I use my phone, a great phone. I have sound equipment, and honestly, it's just better using my phone. And I just find it more convenient. I'm able to do it. Like, I drop the kids off from school and I did a podcast. Like, that easy. I don't have to set everything up. I don't have to load it to my computer. I don't do all that. It's just recording straight from my phone. So I am appreciative of the time that we were able to have this, on the platform, but no longer are they going to do it after June or July. And so I'm going to have to figure out another way to set up my podcast. Either way, I will get the content to you. I appreciate you guys all for supporting me and for listening. Lighthouse is coming. The Lighthouse is what it's going to be called. And it's going to be a beacon of hope for those who need to get out of situations and understand. I think the biggest thing is education. Learning ways in which to get out. Like, I have successful tools, and that's why I think I was chosen. And this is why it's my purpose. I really believe it's my purpose. I mean, like, how do you not think it is when so many people in your life have like reached out to you and been like, how do I get out? Or this is what I'm going through. And I'm like, oh, you're in a narcissistic abusive situation, and you just spot it and you know. And like, I can spot a narcissist now from like a mile away. Like, one could be driving in the opposite direction. I'm like, narcissist, just kidding. Not really like that. But anybody that I meet in person, I can know right off the bat they're a narcissist now. It is the craziest thing. If I meet you in person, not so much like people telling me about their narcissist. Like, you could tell me like, oh, he does this and he does that. That sounds like narcissistic behavior. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like narcissistic behavior. But when I meet a person, like, it's almost like a clash of the souls. I'm like, narcissist. Immediately. They don't even have to do anything. I just know. It's the craziest thing. I don't know if it's a gift. I don't know if it's a spiritual gift or not. But it is there. And I'm like, so incredibly, like, just floored by the fact that I'm able to do that. So I'm going to use that gift. Also, I'm going to shed light with my new podcast, and I'm going to share, you know, what's going on in my friend, if she so lets me, her life and things that's going on. Sorry, I really gotta get off here because I gotta get ready for work, but I just really wanted to make an episode and let you guys know what's going on and the some of the triumphs and some of the tribulations and things that I'm going through. And like, I'm not really going through much right now. Like, things are actually going in a good direction for me, but now I'm in a place where I think that I need to start helping others. And my friend in Mexico, she really needs help. And my other friend who is right here in Florida with me, she's mentally going through it. She still like has the attachment, the anger and the attachment at the same time. So yes, but I know it's a lot different for me, like just talking so slow and all of that, because I'm just not tired. And I am so grateful that my medicine is just such a godsend. But I gotta go because I gotta get ready for work and I have a small amount of time to do that in. And I don't want to look like a slob going to work. But I love you guys. Spread love, light, and positivity everywhere you go. And please look out for the lighthouse because it's coming. And if you guys have anything that you want to say to me, you can email me at ashstarasmr@gmail.com. And I will answer any questions that you have. And thank you. Thank you for listening. And hopefully you follow me and my friend on our journey with the lighthouse. And if you ever feel like you're in need of help and you're in a situation where some of this stuff resonates with you, just reach out to me because I have resources. Thank you so much and have a good one, guys. Bye.